The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
The story was that if the pool at Bethesda was stirred, presumably by an angel, if you got into the pool first, you would be healed of whatever afflictions you had. Now, we don't know if that's just a wives' tale or if it actually happened, but we do know that there was a man there who never made it down to the pool on time. Someone always went in before him, 38 years suffering from his affliction. And when he encounters Jesus, Jesus doesn't help him into the pool. Jesus just heals him. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' healing at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What was the pool at Bethesda?
Bethesda was actually connected to the temple. It was in an area next to the small opening of the temple called the Sheep Gate. That was within the north wall of the temple. Now, there were five sets of columns there. Four of the sets enclosed two separate pools of water. The fifth set stood between the two pools. All of the sets were capped to form porches for the people who gathered there. Now, the fact of the matter is that occasionally an angel of the Lord would go down at certain seasons into the pool and stir the water. And whoever stepped into the pool first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had. And chapter 5 of John talks about Jesus going up to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, and it describes it.
Why was this man unable to get to the Pool of Bethesda?
He has been an invalid for 38 years. In other words, he was not able to walk. And the sick man, when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" He answered Jesus, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." So that was the reason he could not get into the pool first in line after a stirring up of the water.
How did Jesus heal this man?
He said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." Now, verse 9 is really interesting. At once, the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. He got healed of his disease. And it says at the end of verse 9, "Now that day was the Sabbath," which is Saturday in the Old Testament. It was a holy day. And work was not supposed to be done. And carrying a bed was considered as sinful work if you did that on the Sabbath.
How did the Jewish leaders react to Jesus healing on the Sabbath?
Well, because of their view that carrying a bed was sinful, they said to the man, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." The man answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And then they asked him, "Well, who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But verse 13 of chapter 5 says, "Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was. For after Jesus had healed him, he had withdrawn, and there was a great crowd around that place."
What did Jesus say to this man later when he found him in the temple?
Well, this is interesting because you may not realize that when he was unable to walk, he was not also able to worship in the temple. Those who were ill, diseased, like lepers, the blind, the deaf, the mute, the lame, and this man was lame, were not permitted in the temple proper. But as soon as he was healed, we find him in the temple. Now, why would he be there? Well, obviously, praising God for what had happened. So Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." So it reminds us of the woman who was caught in adultery, and Jesus told her to sin no more, as he did to many people. Verse 15 says, "Well, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him."
So, how did Jesus respond to the objections of the Jewish leaders?
Well, this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing things on the Sabbath that were unlawful in Judaism, like plucking grain in the fields, healing people, etc. In fact, the Enduring Faith Sunday School material has the students go through the scripture, healing miracles from the Bible, included the man born blind in John 10, the 10 lepers in Luke 17, healing people with demons in Luke 8, healing another paralyzed man in Luke 5, the bleeding woman in Luke 8, the centurion's servant in Luke 7, a man with a withered hand in Luke 6. This was the purpose of Jesus coming into the world, namely, to reorder our bodies and heal us from our sins. When we go to heaven, nobody's going to be blind or lame or mute or deaf. We're all going to have our senses in our new bodies. And Jesus was showing that ahead of time. how Jesus answered the Jews, he said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This shows the importance of Jesus and the Father. Now, I do want to say that verse 18 is not part of the Sunday school lesson, but I think the teachers need to read it. Here's what it says. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, I find that fascinating. The disciples saw the miracles, they heard the teaching of Jesus, and they did not consider him equal with God until after the resurrection. But the Pharisees, they were hearing the words of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus, particularly those done on the Sabbath, to make himself equal with God, because he was calling God his own Father. So this is a very important verse. I think the Sunday school children need to hear that Jesus is a part of the Holy Trinity. Three persons, yet one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That phrase, "my Father's always working, to this very day, I too am working," what does that mean?
It means that Jesus is the right arm of God, even when he was here on earth. He was fulfilling the mission that he was sent on. That mission began in Genesis 3:15, when Satan the serpent heard from God that through the seed of Eve would come a Savior. Now, he didn't come until the seed of Mary, when she bore God himself in human form. And therefore, when he began his ministry, he was doing the work of his Father also, because the two of them were one God, and they had exactly the same kind of qualities, being all present, all strong, and all knowing, knew everything. So the Father and the Son is a wonderful Trinitarian note that Jesus was operating on the basis of the mission the Father sent him on.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' healing at the Pool of Bethesda. On the other side, how then should Christians understand the Sabbath commandment today?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in Galatians with, "If Christ's, then Abraham's offspring. Fullness of time, as an angel of God. Christ formed in you," and an allegory. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world. Specifically, pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
sanctifying your yard work with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christians face a culture that is hostile to Christianity. How does the gospel shape our understanding of what it is to be human, of marriage and family, of Christian vocation, of how we confess Christ? Christ and Culture, Catechesis on the Apostles' Creed is the theme for this year's symposium of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, June 19th through the 21st, at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Register today at peacesussex.org/CCA.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' healing at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. So coming off the encounter between Jesus and the Jewish leaders on the Sabbath day, how should Christians understand the Sabbath commandment today, Tom?
Today, we need to look at the Ten Commandments and recognize that there are three kinds of laws in the Old Testament. There's moral laws, there's civil laws, and there are ceremonial laws. We Christians are not bound by the civil laws of the Old Testament, like how to punish evildoers, nor are we bound to the ceremonial laws. Now, when we take a look at the Sabbath, the commandment is clear. We are to rest on a day of the week. Stop working and listen to God's word. But it being a Sabbath, namely on a Saturday, is part of the ceremonial laws. And it is clear that Jesus is leader over both the ceremonial laws and the moral laws. And therefore, the ceremonial laws we no longer follow. We don't circumcise our children on the basis of a Christian rule. Similarly, churches have a Sabbath worship, many of them, not only on Sunday, but they also have them on Saturdays and Mondays. And then we have also Wednesday night services for Advent and Lent, Maundy Thursday service for remembering the announcement of the Passover meal, the Lord's Supper, and Good Friday. The only day it's rare that most congregations don't worship is Tuesday. But you can find worship services on the other days, because the Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. It doesn't mean seventh. It means a time of rest. So we have many people, members of the congregation, who have various official duties in their jobs to work on Saturday or Sunday. So they look forward to attending worship services on other days. That's how we regard the Sabbath. Any day in which we worship God in a worship service, giving Him glory and honor, and witnessing to what Jesus Christ has done for the whole world.
What does Jesus teach us about himself in this account?
What Jesus teaches about himself is that he is God, because number one, he has the power to heal bodies. He is the one who created our bodies. And it doesn't matter whether or not it's done on the Sabbath or not, because he has control even of the Sabbath. If Jesus were not God, he would be like all the prophets in the Old Testament. They obey the ceremonial law of the Sabbath, but that was no longer necessary under the new covenant of the gospel, where you are saved not by obedience to the law, but by trusting in the promises of the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins and is ready to take you to heaven when you fall asleep here on earth.
What should the Sunday school children know about Jesus' healing today?
What they should know is, regardless of what happens to them, they may get a headache, they may get a stomach ache, they may end up in a situation where they're unable to walk. Some of these will be healed this side of heaven, like headaches and stomach aches. But some of them may not be healed. We bury individuals who are invalids, who are not able to walk, maybe weren't able to see, were not able to hear, were not able to speak. But when you are in heaven, all of your senses are perfected, including your spirit, where you no longer sin, not just by deed and word, but even by thought. No longer sin, because you are with Jesus Christ and you reflect his image in your body, so you are no longer sinning, but believing and trusting in his promises.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
Yes, the law here is, a lot of times we have sicknesses, but we forget about the most important one we have, and that is our sinfulness. And therefore, we often forget to request forgiveness, which is the greatest gift that God can give. And Christ knows we need forgiveness and freely bestows this gift on us, as he did on this man who was unable to walk for 38 years, but then not only was healed of that disease, but is found in the temple praising God for what he had happened, and he learned what the forgiveness of sins really meant when Jesus spoke to him. It's a message we, as Sunday school children and adults, should be teaching throughout the world.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. For more information on Law and Gospel, visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Thursday, April the 4th, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, Troy Brewer's prophecies
about the 2024 solar eclipse. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is chastity? Chastity can be defined, says Stephanie Neugebauer, as submitting the whole self, particularly one's sexual self, to God's good design and purposes. If you want to learn more about what it means to be chaste, to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, in which we discuss chaste community. Visit cph.org/witness to order a copy, or visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.